What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another and a baseball episode of Smitty Sports Talk Podcast. I'm here with my good friend Connor, my man. It's winter meeting started today. Or started this morning? Sunday. So Sunday, and hey, it's been 2 days, and action's going down, which is ginormous. About a half hour ago, Trey Turner was just officially signed, the biggest shortstop free agent. To the Philadelphia Phillies for 11-year, $300 million. And it's a lot of money. It's $27 million a year. It's a lot of money for a shortstop who's 30 years old. Not meaning much, but, I mean, you pair that now with a Bryce Harper who's made $26 million, and the Phillies were always big buyers. That was the rumor since the World Series ended, that they were looking for to add a shortstop, and they were in the market for – who was it? They were in the market for Trey – Carlos Correa, Xander, and Swanson. I mean, Swanson wasn't really rumored as much, but Trey Turner, man, big deal. And I need your initial thoughts, man.
Yeah, for Philadelphia, this is what you do when you have a season, you know, like they did last year. They were able to sneak in and, you know, make a really deep run, obviously go to the World Series. And the production out of the shortstop position last year from them was slightly lacking. So you knew coming in, you know, to the offseason in the position they were in, they were going to want, you know, to make a big move, and it was going to be at the shortstop position. And there was a lot of options, you know, at the position in free agency for them to go to. Trey Turner, in my opinion, fits their team really well. They have a lot of guys who, you know, produce a lot of pop, and Trey Turner, while producing pop, he's a guy that'll get on base, crazy speed. He defends really well. You know, he really complements, I think, some of the other big guys in the Philadelphia lineup. And obviously, you know, this is a huge turn for the rest of free agency, you know, in terms of how the other shortstops are, you know, going to move. But, you know, if you're the Phillies, you don't waste any time, you know, right when winter meetings get started, you figure out, you know, the guy at shortstop you wanted, which, you know, ended up to be Trey Turner. You go out, you make the move. And like you said, 11 years, $300 million with a no trade clause. It's a lot of money to tie up into a guy, but I mean, you know, Trey Turner is a five-tool player. He brings a lot to the table. And I think it's a great signing for Philadelphia.
It's a deal I'd do 100 times over. You know what I'm saying? If I was Phillies, yeah. If I was Jay Dombrowski, I'd do this deal 100 times over. I mean, you're the spot that the Phillies are in, right? You see let's go Bryce Harper, for example. Let's throw it back. When they signed Bryce Harper, the Phillies weren't close. They weren't this close. They weren't a Bryce Harper away. So you see that money and you're like, wow, he went to a team that's, you know, not there, and you want to go for a winner. And then his team that he left won a World Series a year after, which is ironic. And now they're back together. So. That's something, but it's different for Trey Turner, you know, with his age and at his spot at a shortstop position. It's a little bit different how they get handled and how these outfielders get handled in free agency. People that want shortstops, even middle infielders, are usually championship ready or championship wanting teams. I mean, all the rumored teams for all these guys, I mean, the Yankees, Phillies, Dodgers, I mean, Mets, whoever, they're all championship ready teams. They're all ready to make a run. So I'm interested now to really see what it's going to look like. I know Trey Turner, he's the leadoff hitter the Phillies have never had. He's the leadoff hitter that they've been literally trying to find since Jimmy Rollins left the team back in 2010. And it's been a really, really long time for them to get a guy that's contact, speed, defense, all the above. You said five tool, all the above. And instead of having Kyle Schwarber, who I was talking about before, Kyle Schwarber, while he takes pitches and he works, counts like a leadoff hitter, you can't do the strikeouts. You know, you can't have as many strikeouts as he has, and he's a power hitter. And, of course, you want the solo home runs to just get on the board is big. Those are big, but if you can move himself down to not be afraid to swing the bat and not trying to force himself to work the count maybe too deep, where he's missing pitches that he should probably swing at, now he's more comfortable to do that or to just swing away when need be, not having to worry to get on base as much, but to do his job. And that helps, I think, him a lot. The only thing that's going to be weird is not having Bryce Harper in the lineup for 3 months. That's going to be a little bit strange to really how that's going to affect the flow of the team. Until that gets he gets back, it might be a revolving door in like 4, 5, 6 part of the lineup. We'll see how it really goes. But I think for the Phillies in general, I mean, like, hey, you set your sights and your goal to go get a shortstop, and you go get the guy you wanted, and you really fills out your lineup to help this team make a run.
Yeah, it's really good for Philadelphia. I mean, you know, they got so close last year, obviously, you know, making it to the World Series. And, you know, even though the regular season was a little bit up and down, you look at the roster and they have the pieces to have sustained success. You know, even more success than they had last year, just in terms of the regular season. So it's a really good move. Just in terms of the contract, I mean, Trey Turner is 30 years old, and the it's very interesting to me because he was projected to go, you know, to get a contract 6, 7, 8 years, around 33.5 per year, and that would take him to around 37, 38 years old. Philadelphia decided that they wanted to take, you know, a little bit of the AAV down, but up the year. So now his last year of the contract, he'll be 40 years old. But instead of 33.5, you're looking at 27 and change, which is, you know, $5-6 million. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole other piece, you know, that you can go out and, you know, grab in, you know, the next coming year. So I think it is very interesting to see that they did give him 11 at 30 years old, but you know, you do get the, you know, the extra, you know, $5-6 million to play with, you know, mm-hmm. for those mm-hmm. next 11 years going down the stretch. And I just thought it was interesting to see how the contract played out, you know, as opposed to what it was projected to look like.
Yeah, and the Phillies have gone longer with their – I know the Castellanos signing isn't long, but 5 years, 100, it is not real. He wasn't rumored to be a big stay, but more of a higher money short-term.
They'll throw money in years around in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they'll throw money in years around. They have, and they have done it, and it's – you know, I mean, I can't say it works out, but – they're not worried about the back end of any contract right now. There's no need to be. So if you can extend that out and save yourself some money for the now, and you know they get a little bit more security if they want it to be, just to you know that they have a contract lined up for a decent amount of money, no matter what their age, whatever happens to them, is a big thing. And I think that definitely sets them up to get maybe not the toppest of tiers, which I know is what they want, and they can go get like the Carlos Rodon tier. They can go get those guys, but you can settle for a little bit less, and not as much less as people may thought if they go sign this big of a contract. So it definitely opens up the door for them to add a piece or two, an arm or two, whether it be the rotation and the back end of the bullpen to go try to help and solidify the entire team up. So again, Trey Turner, 11,300. It's a good deal for Philly. Obviously, I'm ecstatic about it. I think it's, you know, it's fun. The Phillies are now a fun place to play, and they're a place people want. And I haven't seen that in a bit, so that's exciting. But let's move real quick, man. The shortstop, the rest of the shorts on the market now. We're gonna go like the Correas and the Xanders again, the Swanson, the three left. What do you see their market and what teams are now going to have to put out for them to get as much money as they need to get? They won.
You know, I think it's interesting. I think the AAV number for each of the shortstops isn't going to change. And I think that's in part because of how, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies structured this contract. I think if it was at 33.5, which was what, you know, Turner was projected to be looking at every year, I think that might have moved the needle, you know, a little bit higher because, you know, him and Correa are the two big shortstops. Obviously, you have Swanson and Bogarts, but the two top tier guys were Trey Turner and Carlos Correa. So I think if Trey Turner was, you know, sitting at 33.5, you know, signing this deal, I think that dictated where you were going to see Carlos Correa. Now I think there's a little bit more wiggle room. We know how, you know, pro, you know, players are. They want to be paid, you know, more than their counterparts. And, you know, we're seeing that with Aaron Judge right now. So I think now that Trey Turner's only signed at 27.5 per year, that might give Correa a little bit of wiggle room to maybe get an extra year or two, but bump down the AAV exactly like Trey Turner did. Or if he wants to just blast, you know, the AAV out of the water, then he might go higher. I think for Swanson and Bogarts, I don't think the money really changes with this deal. I just think, you know, you lost a destination. You know, Philadelphia was in the market for a shortstop. I'm not totally tapped into Philadelphia, but I thought Swanson was definitely a player for them. Obviously, they went with Turner. So, you know, that's one place for, you know, these shortstops that they can no longer sign in. But I think for Correa, it does change a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think it does change for him specifically because he is the youngest out of the bunch as well. He's the guy he's been through the playoffs. He's won a World Series, however you want to put it. But he's been through it. He's been through the postseason, and he's well prepared for a championship run. And, you know, teams love that. They love the veteran presence that he can bring. Not veteran, but veteran in the sense of, you know, he's not going to be – the moment's not going to be too big for him. And I think the money that he'll – I think the money now for him, I really think he's going to try to reach. I do – I mean, again, if there's – you said a destination that's not available for him, I think that you're right. There could be some wiggle room, but I also think he – him and how he works things. Like, he went to Minnesota, which I don't think we ever saw him go to, would ever think he would go to Minnesota. Cause why?
No.
Why would you go to Minnesota? Right.
Yeah.
I think he'll just go, he'll want the money. Like, he'll go for the money. And I don't know what that means, but all that I think it means is that the Dodgers are a giant player now. Like, the, I think they're the number one right now. And the Dodgers will always throw the money around. They'll give him the money. And I think that's a top priority for him. Is just go where the money goes. And you know what, man? Listen, it's not bad for players to get their money because that's what they do. That's what players do. It's every year, every sport.
And you can't blame a guy for that.
No, you can't. You can't blame a guy for that. And you know what? You're going to a team that has, again, has been through the ringer, man. They've gone through it all. And they're going to be prepared. And I think the Dodgers just got Clayton Kershaw back at the $20 million they signed him for 2 years, was it?
Official today, yep.
I don't know how much.
Well,
I don't know
how much. I'm not totally sure. Yeah,
but yeah, he got $20 million a year for whatever how long he was here. He's there for. But so you're going to keep some of those guys, that homegrown talent, and the guys that you paid for around, and you're going to add. You can very well add a Carlos Correa now with that $20 million to give him an extra. I don't know, extra five more than Trey, an extra six. So that 32-33 range, I think, is still where he's going to be set at, especially if he's going to go to LA. As for Xander, I think my sneaky place for where Xander can end up and how what this means for Xander is Xander. I think Xander now will see, like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to get that much money. I don't know if I'm going to get the 26-30 because, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I know I'm good. But am I – I'm not a top priority. I'm the third player on this list. And I think with how everything's looking right now that the Yankees can be in a play for Xander Bogaerts. And I'm interested to see – what that does for how they look at Judge and they view him entirely. And I don't know. It depends on the priorities. I don't know what they're doing. The Yankees just announced a Brian Cashman 4-year extension. Like, congratulations. Congrats. You know, that's their biggest move so far of the offseason. Like, no one cares. Nope. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. But we'll see. But I think for Xander, it's going to be more or less around, maybe around what Trey, a little bit less than what Trey got in the 22 to 26 range in there. And he'll go to a destination where I think he'll, that team will be, you know, a piece away. And I think the Yankees are a piece away. So I think that's a prime spot for him. And Swanson is weird. I don't know about Swanson. I didn't ever really believe he was going to come to Philadelphia. I knew Trey Turner was going to be the link. I mean, you've linked that with Harper and his times in Washington. I didn't think it was going to be ever come to fruition where he was going to be a Philly. But Swanson's a weird cat. I think he can basically go wherever. I mean, he wants the money. He's already said it. His agent said it. He thinks he's worth more than what the Braves are offering him. And I know the Braves like to go low on their contracts and really, you know, keep their guys around for some time without overspending. And I think he's like, you know what, you're not getting me with that. And he's going to want the money. So I'm thinking he'll get to a similar deal, a similar AAV that a Trey Turner got. And if that's the case, I don't really know. I don't know if you have any opinions on where you think Dansby Swanson, if he's going to get, if in my opinion now, that he's going to get paid around that 26, 27 mark, that he has a destination outside of Atlanta.
Nah, for me, I would still go with Atlanta. The money, I'm right with you. I just don't know. We haven't seen, you know, a team go out and, you know, say that Swanson was the, you know, he's the guy. You know, obviously you just said Philly, you know, from the start was looking, you know, at Trey Turner as the shortstop of the bunch that they were going to go after. Yep. I haven't really seen that from, you know, anybody in terms of Dansby Swanson. There was a little bit of talk, you know, that Baltimore, you know, had some interest in him. But I think at the end of the day, if I was a betting man, I think he would be, you know, back in Atlanta next year.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree as well. I think it's just in his best interest to just run it back with Atlanta. I don't know the years he's looking for, but I'm thinking he's looking at like a 6 years, maybe like basically what an Albies deal is, and you know those guys. So I'm interested to see where he goes, because that's gonna, again, it's gonna fill out the. I think they're all gonna start falling now, one after another. I think we'll see the reports quickly come along as Trey Turner and Jacob deGrom, who I'll talk about in a second, gets moved. And you know, hey, winter meetings just started. We got a few more days. It's good. We need this to come out. We need to keep baseball up where it belongs. And I think this is a good start. So, but as for Jacob deGrom, he doesn't sign with the Mets. The Mets don't re-sign him. They ended up signing Justin Verlander, which is interesting, to a mega deal for 2 years, $40-something million. It's a lot of money. But this is the Mets, Steve Cohen. He doesn't care. I'm just interested on why they didn't go and sign Jacob deGrom back. Now, maybe he didn't want to be there. Maybe he wasn't thinking, you know, it's not going to work and whatever else, the intangibles that are along there. But he signs to Texas for $5,185, which is a nice contract for him. And Texas now, as a team, has made a couple years in a row now, they made big moves to go get a big free agency player and tried to retool this thing quicker than maybe they should. I don't know what your feelings.
Yeah, I think it might be a little quick. Just if you look at, you know, the division that they play in, you know, obviously you have Houston, who doesn't look like they're going away anytime soon. You know, they look like a team that just continues, you know, every year to, you know, not, you know, skip a beat. And then you have a really, you know, young and talented up and coming Seattle Mariners team in that division as well. So I do think it's a little bit head scratching for the Rangers, but, you know, to go out and, you know, compete with, you know, with a team like the Houston Astros and stuff, you're going to need these top guys. So, you know, in that breath, you know, I understand, you know, where they're coming from. For the Mets, listen, the New York Mets know more about Jacob deGrom and his health moving forward than anybody. And for me, you talked about, you know, you spoke briefly about the Verlander contract and Steve Cohen with his money and, you know, they can spend. If they felt like he was going to be worth, you know, these 5 years, you know, at this clip, they would have had no problem giving him this money. They wouldn't have had to move anything around, obviously, because they just signed, you know, Verlander to even more. So it all comes down to the health. And you know what? I'm not a Mets fan, but if I am a Mets fan, I'm waking up and I feel okay about this, because obviously they didn't feel comfortable giving, you know, this amount of years at this amount of money to a guy who, you know, might only make 10, 15 starts for you every year. And for me, I'm right with that. He's had, you know, a ton of injury problems, especially the last couple of years. When he's on the mound, he's obviously the best pitcher in baseball. But yeah,
absolutely.
He's very rarely on the mound. And, you know, to me, I have a hard time, you know, giving, you know, a guy that much money, you know, over 5 years, you know. And, you know, you never know, 3 years down the line, you know, he might be done, you know, with the way, you know, with the way he pitches and, you know, the injuries, you know, that he's had. So for me, I think it's a big, obviously huge splash for Texas. You know, they get another big guy on the payroll. They're going to sell tickets. You know, they're probably going to be, you know, a pretty fun team to watch, you know, at least in the regular season. But for the Mets, you come right back, you sign, you know, Verlander to, you know, a shorter term deal, more money, but a shorter term deal. And I think I think you just have to walk away at that point. I think the injury concerns are too high.
I don't know.
This is a very polarizing
it
guy,
is. It is.
Because he's the best pitcher in baseball, and there's no doubt about it.
Who he is, you know, it's just he is who he is. And it's tough to walk away from players like that when you have them in your organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I get it. You know, you are the Mets, and you can't just keep waiting and wasting time and money on a guy that obviously is the guy when he's playing, but he just got to play. And they missed him. They missed him in the playoffs. They needed him. They didn't have him, so they did miss him. Well, did he play? How did he play?
Yeah, he made one start in that wild card series. It was actually they won that game, but the whole. You know,
they missed throughout the end of the year to really get themselves anywhere higher than they could have been. You know, getting out of a wild card game would have been big for them and helped them entirely. But it is what it is. And I think for Jacob deGrom, as himself as a player, I think he just wanted a fresh start, because it's just been a lot of years now where it's been up and down. Not up and down performance wise, but just him getting playing time and really like solidifying himself as a Hall of Famer that he very, very well will end up and turn into. But for Texas, dude, I think it's a little bit quick, but like you said, you got to put yourself in the market, and you're not going to do that by waiting and waiting and waiting. They've been in a rebuild for a while now. They've been for a few years since, I don't know, before Beltre retired. That's a while ago now. And you got to get yourself and compete with the teams, like you said, like the Astros, that are at the top of your division. And I think now you make these moves. You signed a Corey Seager. You signed a Marcus Semien. Now, they didn't work out to the extent that you wanted them to, but they're still really good players. You added a Jacob deGrom. You have a Jack Leiter in your back pocket. You have some other guys. You have, Josh Jung, who's a third baseman for that team, who's a really good prospect for them. He's a player that can absolutely play. And there's some pieces there that there's a lot of top-heavy talent. It's very top-heavy talent for the top of the top of the elite tier. And then they have these guys that have played well. Like, you have a couple players last year. I'm trying to think of the names of them, man.
Nathaniel Lowe was an all-star last year.
Lowe, yeah, that's number one. That's what I'm talking about. Like, players like that that are really starting to show themselves a bit because they've been down there. They've been down there for a bit. In AAA, AA, they were running through it, and they've been performing well, and it's time to shine. And now you're trying to get the young guys, and you get the veteran top-end talent at the same time, and you see what happens. I mean, I don't hate it at all for making it happen. I think every team, really, if they decide they want to make it happen, go spend your money, man. You know, don't save it.
Yep.
If you feel like you have a chance and you feel like you have a spot right now where you can get some of the best players in baseball or the best pitcher in baseball when he's on the field, then you go do it. No matter what the team is, you go make the signing. So I think for Texas and Jacob deGrom, it's a good deal. I think it's a win-win for both sides. I think he just wants to get a new atmosphere. And, again, for the Mets, I don't necessarily like it. With the Justin Verlander signing, I don't agree with it. You have 2 40-year-old now as your top end of rotation. Not that that means anything, but it's just something. I don't know. It's a move. It's a little bit wary for me if there's not more than just Justin Verlander, which there might not be that much more off, like pitching wise, because that's a lot of money they tied into that guy. So again, we'll see. But for DeGrom, man, happy for him because he's out of the NL East, so I can't complain. You know what I mean? He's out of the NL East.
There you go.
He'd get him out. So, but I want to talk about the East. I want to talk about the NL East. Aaron Judge, boss, what does this do for Aaron Judge? And do you think this signing with Trey Turner, and not necessarily Jacob deGrom, because pitchers get paid different prices, but you see Trey Turner get this amount of money, and even the Yankees were looking for an upgrade at shortstop. And I know Steinbrenner, you said it last time we were talking about this just behind the scenes. He doesn't bring up his talent. He doesn't bring it up. He just kind of sits there and holds him. Do you think this makes Judge and his camp up the price more for him to come back to New York?
I think it might. And I think it might just because Trey Turner might have been the backup plan for New York. Now, you know, obviously I don't know that. And,
that's what I was saying.
But if Trey Turner was the backup plan for the Yankees, if Aaron Judge does decide to, you know, go to San Francisco or, you know, to the Dodgers, obviously, the Yankees have a backup plan of how they're going to spend their money because they still think that they're going to be contenders. So if Trey Turner was that backup plan that they were going to go out and throw a bunch of money at to be the shortstop and, you know, cover that up, now that plan is out the window. Do I think it changes it a ton? I wouldn't say so, just because if that is where they were going to pivot, there's still really good talent at the shortstop position that they could go after, even if Trey Turner was their guy. And the money for Trey Turner is not going to be the money that Aaron Judge gets. So I don't think that really has anything to do with it. I think maybe the 11 years might. I don't think there's no way Judge is going to get 11 years, but it might, you know, it might push, you know, a team to maybe, you know, be willing to throw, you know, an extra year, maybe a ninth year on his contract because, you know, you see, you know, the Phillies are willing to go, you know, into Trey Turner's, you know, age 40 season, you know, to get this deal done. And, you know, Judge might look at that and say, well, you know what, whoever's going to sign me needs to be willing to do the same. So I do think it might change it slightly, but I do not think that this Trey Turner move completely blows, you know, up the market for Aaron Judge. And now it's a scramble to figure out what's going to change. I think it'll still be pretty similar, but I think that there could be some effects later on from this signing in terms of the Aaron Judge deal.
I get that. I agree. I think the reason I brought it up is more so he's really the last big cat in the market right now. He's the biggest cat. And if you're the last one, you have teams bidding now, you might have a third team come in now. There's a possibility a third team, a fourth team comes in and decides to say, hey, let me get in the party. Let me bid in. And
to your point earlier, when we were talking about Trey Turner, now maybe the Dodgers become even more of, you know, an interested party because, you know, Trey Turner.
You're talking for Aaron Judge.
Yeah. I mean, but it could be a possibility, you know, because now they have that, you know, Trey Turner money coming off the books. If they were trying to re-sign him, you know, they now have to put that money somewhere else. They could decide to go after, you know, just another one of the shortstops and just replace him. But I mean, they've already shown interest in Aaron Judge. So, you know, that interest might even get a little higher. I totally agree. I think it could change the scope of, you know, maybe a team that might have been in on Trey Turner that didn't get him, maybe jump in.
If that's the case, man, it'll be we might see this Judge thing be dragged out a little bit longer than possible. And I very well think it can. Now that you have a couple other of your really big names, like we just mentioned, obviously DeGrom and Trey Turner, one of the two biggest for their position, obviously, off the books. I mean, it leaves him to be able to – he has leverage now. Like, he has leverage. He is the guy everyone wants. He's the guy that he's going to listen to offers for. And if he's homegrown, he wants to go back, he will. I still think he will end up a Yankee. I mean, I don't see how – I mean, I see how he can or cannot – be a Yankee, but I still think that's more so his landing spot if he gets the deal he wants. And you know, hey, the Yankees can't get outbid. If something comes out and he goes somewhere else and the Yankees are the ones to get outbid, then I'm disappointed. You know, I mean, unless they have like a Brian Reynolds up the sleeve, or they go and get some other guys that are out there all, you know, together to replace him with other pieces. But if that's the case, man, I mean, that's just a bad job by New York. But, again, we'll all see. And I think time will tell. I think we'll see with the couple days left of winter meetings, we'll see other teams really jump in. And I'm interested to find out what asking prices are, because that's always fun. And when there's a big cat out there, man, it's literally a cat-and-mouse game. It's literally you give a little bit, you know, you give – and whatever the saying is, you know what I'm saying. So – I don't know. I really don't know. I think all in all, though, for day two, day one and a half, very successful. And I'm glad that this is getting done now. I hate the long waiting game.
Oh yeah.
Years ago, I don't like waiting until February. I what's the point, man? I can't stand it. So I'm glad that these deals are getting done now. Players get comfortable with wherever they got to go, and you know, if that's going to be the rumor and the theme of this offseason, that I expect Judge to probably pick a spot before Christmas time. And again, we'll see. But as a Yankees fan, one last thing real quick, is there any – what is your biggest worry about if they don't sign Aaron Judge?
My biggest worry would be if they don't sign him, where they're going to pivot. Because they haven't leaked, you know, any other interest in any, you know, in any other guys, you know, to the media.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, pretty obvious as, you know, as to why, because Aaron Judge is the priority. So they don't even want to, you know, think about, you know, going to, you know, another plan, you know, until they have to. But if Aaron Judge is gone, this team looks a whole lot different than it does right now. And this team wasn't good enough to even win a game against the Houston Astros in the CS. And, you know, that was with Aaron Judge, you know, having the season of his life. So it drastically changes, you know, what the roster looks like. And I'm a little worried to take a look at the roster if Aaron Judge isn't on it, to be honest with you. They've plunged for bad contracts a million times before. You know, Every team who intends to sign Aaron Judge is going in knowing the last couple of years aren't going to be, you know, it's going to be a bad contract at the end.
He doesn't have that makeup of, you know, his body's going to last him into his 38, 39. Doesn't have that makeup.
Yeah. So my biggest worry is just where they pivot, what they decide to do if Judge decides to leave.
That's fair. So I totally agree. It's fair. So I think we're going to hop on out of here, man.
One more thing before we go.
Shoot it. Go ahead.
I know you've been very good, you know, on this pod about not, you know, getting too excited, but congratulations, dude. I mean, Trey Turner coming to your Phils. I want to give you 30 seconds to react as a fan too. I mean, how do you feel about this? Just a quick 30-second feeling.
Serious, I'm hype. I love it, dude. I mean, it's been so long, bro. Like, I mentioned it. Like, they needed a guy like this, and you know, the fact that they're starting to really put some things together and look like they're going to be built for some playoffs from years and years and years now. Hopefully, you got to get a guy like this, man. And this is the ultimate piece, you know. And it's my number one target. I want as a fan. I'm happy to get it done. I don't want him to stop, but I mean, you'll see. I want a starting pitcher. That's been their number two
starting option. Pitching depth. Yeah,
that's been their number two option, and that's been something that they've said since the World Series ended. That's their priority: a shortstop or something, and they want a starting pitcher. But as a fan, man, seriously, it's fun. It's a fun time in Philly right now, so I'm happy for it. I haven't felt like this in a bit. It's been a lot of shit years in Philly watching awful baseball. So I'm happy it's finally, you know, turning itself around a little bit. So appreciate that. Thanks for the 30 seconds.
You got it.
It's definitely nice to enjoy a little bit. I'll enjoy. I'll get the chance to enjoy. So
you got 11 years to enjoy.
11 years to enjoy, and I'll be 33 when that's over, and I'll hate every second of that. So. But appreciate it, boss, for coming on. I really do. Want to get this thing out there quickly, and we just get initial thoughts, and I'm happy, and I'm glad this worked out. So this is nice. We can do this more often, and any other breaking news that come out and things that are fairly talkable, we'll talk about it. So until next time, man, I'll talk to you then, and whatever you got to do, you got to do, boss. So appreciate you hopping on, man.
All appreciate it. I'll see you guys in the next couple of days, probably.
Yeah, hopefully. Later, man.